Fox Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Big news night last night, if you weren't paying attention. Believe it or not, I know this is going to come as a surprise to a lot of you, but Quinn Hillier was completely wrong. And I think from this point forward, he should not be taken seriously. Wait, that's all points forward. Long before this. No, we'll talk about the Supreme Court doing what we expected them to do, what I had been saying probably was going to happen all along, and sort of behind-the-scenes drama yesterday. Very intriguing, but we'll get into that here in due course. Coming up in about a half hour from now, Jerry Carl, last-minute fill-in for me, the legendary Will Hampson, had another conflict. So I have Carson Carl, which I think is appropriate to come on and talk about the Supreme Court decision and where they are. We thought this was how this was going to go. And that was sort of the takeaway there on the throwing out the preliminary injunction. Also on the program, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1. It is Wednesday. We do this every Wednesday. And then 11 o'clock hour, Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stadhagen will be with us. He and I talked a little bit last night, and I'm telling you guys, we were kind of talking about the I was just more trying to figure out what was going on. I'll get into that in just a moment, by the way. But we were on the phone, and sure enough, the Supreme Court ruling comes out, and here we are today with a new 6-1 map. That is the law of the land. Like it, love it, hate it, whatever you want to do about it. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing Anna Manasco can do about it. More importantly, nothing Quinn Hillier can do about it. So we'll get into that. 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, hit us up on that text line. That's the best way to do so. So the way the court was kind of showing us, the reason why after last week, I knew this was how this was going to go, was the way the state Senate ruling came down. That the court said, no, Alabama's free to use its 2021 map for the sake of the state, Alabama State Senate. And so this three-judge panel got smacked down twice in a matter of days. And I thought some of the language in it was, like, very intriguing about, from the justices. 6-3 decision, by the way, the three justices, Kajani Brown Jackson and Sotomayor and Lena Kagan dissenting. Certainly, totally not unexpected that they would do so. But we knew it was going to happen fast. It had to happen. And the fallout is way more, I guess, intriguing, but we knew it had to happen because the Louisiana case, and then they take out the injunction or they vacate the Milligan decision, so you got to do it over again, and everything has to start from scratch. And then almost immediately they have a Friday hearing, and on Monday or Tuesday after Memorial Day, three-judge panel issues a preliminary injunction stopping the map, thinking that the language in that, and it was so coarse, talking about racial maps and ascribing these motivations of the Alabama legislature. We knew it had to, like, bite the dust. It was like a, it was like their last stand. They had to have that last say, and then it was like, did they? What was? How was the Supreme Court going to react? Well, I didn't know, the one line I thought was interesting. The district court failed to follow our instructions at Calais that the mere fact that voters of different races vote for different parties is not relevant to proving racially polarized voting patterns. So what they're saying, just because African Americans vote Democrat doesn't mean you can draw a Democrat map in the name of racial justice. You can disagree with it. You can be mad and you know, whatever. You could call for them to pack the Supreme Court. But it is what it is for now. Because, yes, the Milligan case, two things were going on there. They were trying to satisfy a VRA argument and trying to satisfy a 14th Amendment argument at the same time. But in the Calais decision, even though it's not a 14th Amendment case, the criteria for checking the boxes in a 14th Amendment discussion was set by the Louisiana Calais case. So the lower courts maintained that those dumb rednecks in the Alabama legislature drew the map for the sake of disenfranchising the African-American vote. Okay, well, how do you get to that conclusion? How do you make that assessment? And the path to that assessment for the lower court was, well, they're drawing out Democrats. Therefore, drawing out Democrats equals racist behavior. And the Supreme Court said, no. No. That's not true. You're conflating the two. And that's why we are where we are today. And this is sort of the reverse of that. If African-American voters or Republican voters would we be having this legal maneuvering that we're having today? And the answer is no. This is a partisan battle between Republicans and Democrats for control of Congress. It is all about getting more R's and more seats in the House chamber on Capitol Hill. It has nothing to do with race. No one is thinking about race. And that is especially true for the Democrats who are trying to defend this position that Alabama's 6-1 map was wrong. Now, it should be, at this point, it should have been a 7-0 map. And I'm happy to have that discussion, but, you know, it's too late now. We are where we are. We'll get the 7-0 map ultimately. But for the Milligan case, which if it's retried, the bar is much higher for the plaintiffs to prove some kind of racial bias by the legislature. They raised the bar, essentially. They raised the bar and said, no, you can't say because a Republican supermajority draws a Republican congressional map that it's racist. You got to come to the table with more than that. Now, could they? Absolutely. But that was sort of the basis of the whole argument, that they drew these congressional maps to disenfranchise black voters. But that wasn't the motivation. They drew these maps based on a partisan criteria. The problem, I think, for the lower courts has always been a geographical problem, because this is what this was meant to protect against. That if you had a community of interest of African American people, and for the sake of keeping an African American person from winning that office, you drew the map fashioned it in a way to undermine the vote of black people. because they're black, not because they're Democrats. That is essentially the argument the lower court missed. And we'd said it over and over and over again. But also, there's one other problem the lower court had, and as the Supreme Court justices point out in the majority opinion, you're taking a power that is constitutionally granted to the states, and you're taking it away. Their other states are allowed to draw their maps how they see fit, but not in Alabama. We're not going to allow you to do it. Well, why? Well, because there was racist behavior 50 years ago. Well, at some point that was going to end. You were, yes, using the opportunity before you to win Democrat seats, and they maximized it. But why were all these stipulations in place in the first place? Because Alabama was engaging in racist behavior under Democrat control, by the way. And the federal government had to step in and say no. And back then it was all Democrats. But they drew maps in a way to make it all white Democrats. And then the politics in America sort of shift and go in a different direction. You get it, right? And they've co-opted it to use it against Republicans. So it lasted for 50 years. It was a good run. You used it to your advantage. Congratulations. But why should people in a state be punished for something that happened before a lot of them were even born? You could call them racist. You could say this is right, but that's not the criteria. So we're going forward. We have congressional elections of 1, 2, 6, and 7. I don't know what happened yesterday. They opened up qualifying. The governor's office got a little skittish here and thought, I guess, that they were going to go to like a 5-2 map or something. Oh, they didn't want to wait. So they like had a contingency qualifying. Man, it just really just confused things. We don't know who the governor is right now. We don't know who's running the state. I'm just going to say it. I'm tired of this charade. I mean, I know I've said it on the show before. Kay Ivey is not in charge. She shows up every now and then. They'll coach her up enough to give a speech to some kind of like chamber of commerce gathering or whatever it is. But she's not running this ship. She's not running the show. It's like the state's being run by the University of Alabama SGA or something right now. Or maybe it's the all-star team from the commuter college SGAs. I don't know in this state. But more on that throughout the program. 251-343-0106. This is the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. To ever play the blues. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Want to be in touch with this show, text me 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Still to come on the program, we'll talk to Jerry Carl. He's impacted by this this decision and sort of some of the things that were underway, let's say, in the lead up to it. Let me see here. Jim. Now, not all African-American voters vote Democrat and not all white voters vote Republican. Yes, but that was it, though. That was the takeaway, that they were using race. Guys, we would have never come to this destination if they did not try to sue. They didn't use Milligan. If they had just let the map 6-1, as it had been for decades, that they hadn't gotten greedy. If the Democrats, the institutional left, had just said, this is probably as good as it's going to be, they could add a 6-1 map forever. Now it's going to be 7-0. They hadn't gotten greedy in Louisiana. They hadn't gotten greedy in these other states and created this movement for states, Republican states, deep Republican states, to draw out Democrats. We wouldn't be in this like arms race of congressional seats. The left fired the first shots here with these lawsuits. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't think it was, wholly about Democrat seats. There was this perverse incentive, Eric Holder, Mark Elias, those types, to make money off of states. In the loser pays system we have. They made money for years off of it. So every reapportionment, Democrats, these attorneys, these election lawyers would get together, and this is how they made their living. And they finally hit a point where it was like, well, what are we going to sue for now? Well, heck, let's go for a 5-2 map in Alabama. Let's go for a 4-2 map in Louisiana or whatever. Well, let's try to pick up as many Democrat seats as possible, because we're at a place in this country where the margins are so thin and every seat counts. Do what you got to do. And it ended up backfiring. It's the same, guys, it's just like Dobbs. We had Roe v. Wade, law of the land. Sure, the states are trying to nibble around it and make it more hard, or make it harder for abortion. But what they got in return was a much harder framework for their side. The Supreme Court now looks at it and says, no, we're leaving this up to the states to decide. And that's what they did again. The left using lawfare, trying to bolster their policy position, taking power away or taking away from trying to alter the norm, trying to alter whatever society had decided long ago that this is how we were going to do it. Everybody has kind of come to grips with it. They're happy with it. And the list is, that's not enough. We want more. We want more abortion. We want more gerrymandered seats for Democrats in the name of racial justice. They go to court. You may win at the lower court level. You may have Shamani Baker talking about protest from local athletes at the top of the news, but in the long run, you're going to lose. It's going to be an L politically. Not just a symbolic thing that you're doing, but for your policy positions, your side is going to lose, and your policies are going to suffer ever becoming a reality. They're going to suffer in the court of public opinion. They're not going to get to see the light of day on the floors of Congress. You got to know. That's what's happened here. They got greedy. And they lost. And I suspect this will hold for a while. 251-343-0106 would be in touch with the show. We'll get to more of your text later in the program. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows that the secret
is when the... Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Still to come on the program, We'll talk to Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. Also on the program, he is the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. We'll hear from Scott Stadthagen. That's coming up in, in the 11 o'clock hour. Joining us now on the line, he's running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District, now officially the 6-1 map. Jerry Carl is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you? Hey, Congressman, let me try to get back to you. We're having a little audio difficulties here, and I will reconnect here in just a moment. All right, 251-343-0106. For whatever reason, the phone line is not connecting for me here. Let's see. Have we got you down? Sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We're here, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. Yeah, so it's business as usual. I think we kind of knew this was going to happen, didn't we?
I did. I mean, I felt strong about it. I know a lot of people did not. We had to set up a worst case scenario, which was, running the entire nine county district. But I think since things turned out exactly the way that it needs to be, it puts the Gulf Coast back with a full. Congressman and versus, Mobile County was actually split between two congressmen, and that's kind of hard to serve two masters. But now it's going to be one unit, Mobile, Baldwin, Covington, and Escambia County. And I'm excited to get back and, of course, earn people's votes between now and August the 1st. I know there's a lot of confusion. I'm sorry, August the 11th. I know there's a lot of confusion on our election, but we will be on the ballot August the 11th. Please plan on voting.
What did you think of the way the state did this? Reopening qualifying, I guess, in the event of a 5-2 map. I mean, I don't think it was necessary. It really kind of muddled things.
Jeff, I don't understand the strategy. I've not talked to anyone that understands the strategy. I think it made us look weak or confusing. I told Scott yesterday that I know our Democrat friends were really laughing at us and thought it was probably pretty funny. You know, we filed for this scenario four times. Today would be the fourth time. I think they're going to have us file again, but it shows us as weak. But as candidates, now we stand up, run our race, win our race, and go to Washington and represent our district. It doesn't, as individuals, it shouldn't reflect on us. I think it's mass confusion. I think it had everything to do, obviously, with the lawsuits themselves. So many things that we're doing is the first time it's ever happened. So we have to be a little bit lenient, on the powers to be that made all these decisions. I've considered myself to be very patient. I've just been sitting back and waiting and watching and doing what I'm told to do as far as the filing in the election. So we're where we need to be. I'm not one to look back and try to kick people around for the past. We need to move forwards and get this done and make sure Alabama's got good representation. And we get up there and support our president, support our agendas. So we're ready.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you guys are right all along. If there was ever the poster child for the victim of all of this, it would be you, right? Because the initial lower court deciding that we were going to go to a map with an opportunity district, it pits you against Barry Moore. And what the Supreme Court wrote last night, pitting an incumbent against an incumbent, they weren't supposed to do that. But, I mean, I guess it was just we had to go the circuitous route to get to where we are, and not only were we right, but in the end we'll get to a 7-0 map. But like it really costs you a lot of time and a lot of financially, I don't know. And
yeah, well, the redistricting, obviously, it pitted myself against Barry, and of course Barry won. We lost a lot of money and lost a lot of pride and lost a lot of things, but you know, what I want to focus on, excuse me, what I want to focus on is what did I gain? You know, I gained a lot in my faith. I gained a lot in understanding probably what better is happening in my district. Because I stayed busy. I stayed working in the district. And I may not have been a congressman, but I can still donate my time and efforts to make my community better. And I did that, and I stayed active. Not necessarily to run for another office, but, you know, I've still got a lot of fight left in me, and we're all in this together. So I learned a lot. It's brought a lot out of me. It certainly has humbled me more, and I appreciate that. And I hope I can take that to Washington and turn that into strength. But I don't want to be the victim here. I never want to be known as the victim of this whole thing, but it has been a roller coaster, Jeff. I'll give it that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not easy to get elected to Congress, and you lost a congressional seat because of it, but because you have this rogue panel of judges, and they were wrong. I mean, in the end, now I know they'll have to retry Milligan, but the criteria have changed. We have a new law of the land, and at the time, you know, maybe that was the law of the land. I questioned that, but they said no. And so here it is. I mean, this is as close to vindication as you can get, but they really did a number here. And I don't know what the repercussions will ever be, but it really threw Alabama into some chaos for a brief period of time.
I talked to a friend of mine up in D.C. yesterday, and he said that there was going to be a whole chapter written on this race for the political science classes in the future, and probably most all of the colleges. So should that be the case, right? Maybe I'll get my name thrown in there somewhere. But it has been a very unusual race, and I've been blessed and surrounded by some very strong people that have supported us throughout this. And we're just going to push on, Jeff. I'm not one to feed on the past. I'm always trying to move forwards. You know, I want to bring more prosperity to South Alabama. I want to see us get better jobs. I want to see us, you know, taking the Trump agenda and taking care of our families and taking our moral issues and our opinions and take those to Washington, make sure people understand that before they try to push some of their crazy stuff on us. And I've been doing that for the 4 years I was up there. It's a constant battle, but you know, we're in a good place. We're truly in a good place, and I'm in a good place, campaign wise, spiritually, all the way around. And I'm blessed this morning. Yesterday was a icing on the cake.
Well, I mean, you had to be thinking, you know, we got pretty late in the day when the Supreme Court announced its ruling, but were you ever questioning it? Were you ever thinking, well, maybe we are going to get stuck 5-2 and I'm going to have to run the same race again against Rep. Marcus and everybody else?
We were already tooling up for that. I mean, we were ready for that. I mean, we won it once before. We could win it again. I mean, you can't make the rules up in politics. You have to, you know, you have to play by the rules. And as long as we all played by the rules, I talked to Rhett just a while ago, and you know, he was thanking me for running such a good, clean campaign, and we had some good, kind words to share with one another. But we were ready for it. We were ready for both case scenarios. I truly believed it was going to come back the way it did. There was very little doubt in my mind, but we did prepare for it. That's the way I've always run my businesses. Prepare for the worst and, you know, hope for the best. Pretty simple. But when I got the phone call, I didn't know about it. And Steve Marshall called me right out of the blues, and I thought, oh, this is strange. Steve called me at, you know, 7 o'clock at night, whatever time it was. And of course he shared the news with me, and it was on after that. But we're incredibly humbled and excited. The race is not over yet, by no means. We've still got a hard race. We've still got some candidates that are very viable, and we're going to run a good, strong race. And hopefully August 11th, we can get enough folks out to vote us in. It's a winner take all. It's one of the few times that Alabama voters will actually get to vote like this. So there's no runoff. It's a winner take all, and I think there's four of us so far.
four of you, and I guess new candidate, but you sound to me like, you know, the strategy sans the discussions about Wiregrass issues, that we're going to see a lot of the same as we've seen for the last year or so.
Yeah, it'll be the same people. I know the Wiregrass area got at least one new one, if not two. Again, we've got to figure out who's actually running, who's not, just because their name was on the ballot in May when we filed. I assume they still want to run. Maybe not. Maybe our election and our numbers will discourage that. Everybody would love a non-challenged race, but it rarely happens, especially in Congress.
And you still, we talked about this a lot, you know, you get elected, you get to go back, and you get to keep some of your seniority, right?
I do. I keep all my seniority, so we'll go back on appropriations, provided we hold the House. I'm told I go back on appropriations, and I go back on natural resources. So I'll go back in with a seniority of 4 years. Most people don't realize that most congressmen only spend about 6 years up there total. 6.5 years is the average. So we'll have some seniority that will bump us up and get us on some good, strong committees, subcommittees. And the subcommittees I'm looking for that are the committees that most influence South Alabama. That's what I'm looking for on appropriations. I'll serve anywhere they need me, but if I get to pick, we'll have our punch card ready for that one.
Joined by Jerry Carl here. He's candidate for the 1st Congressional District on the Republican ticket. August 11th, by the way, campaigning during the summer months. I mean, are you ready for that? I know your local elections and these municipal elections, they run in the summer. And they're probably knocking on doors and pounding a lot more pavement, but this will be a little unusual for Alabama, and probably unusual for any cycle you've ran in, you know, counting your county commission time running in June and July.
Well, county commission time, I walked all summer. I walked off about 20 pounds to be exact. So I'm used to that. The problem is once you're elected and people know who you are, you can't do a lot of door knocking. But simply because instead of doing 20 doors in an hour, you're doing two doors, you know, because people want to tell you what they think and the problems they have. And we want to hear that. But when you're door knocking, you're trying to cover volume there, not necessarily trying to fix things. But we will be doing obviously some door knocking. We're already preparing for that. We had a conversation back last week. We got some people lined up that will come in and help us do some door knocking, volunteers, obviously. But we're ready for it. We have a campaign ready and ready to go.
Well, last question, because now you're out of the Wiregrass. You had, if you were to run against Red in a runoff, you would have had more work to do in the Wiregrass. But now the geography shifts north. Now you got northern counties, and you're going to have to kind of how much do you retool there to go from a whatever's on the minds of the people in Dothan, Enterprise, et cetera, to maybe you expand up to what, Washington County or north that way?
Yeah, well, Washington County won't be in it. And I was really looking forward to representing the folks in the Wiregrass. I'll be honest with you. I've learned a lot from them, especially from the farm community. And by the way, we picked up the Forestry PAC endorsement yesterday. That's a big endorsement, especially on natural resources, which one of the committees I'll be on. But we don't have to change that much, Jeff. We really don't. We'll have to redirect money as far as TV, radio, and mail. That we'll have to redirect. But we've had two different messages for two different districts from the very beginning. Mobile, Baldwin County. I mean, everyone has the same, you know, has the same agenda as individuals, families, moral issues, all of that. And we're all the same on that. But when you start talking about the business side, you know, in the Wiregrass, you're talking more farm issues. You're talking transportation issues. There are infrastructure, mobile infrastructure, and obviously the port being the biggest. So we don't have to change a whole lot of what we're doing. So that's the good thing. And we have, we'll just go back to our original plan, which is, you know, talk about what we have done and how we can improve what we have done. We have a record to run on. No one else has a record to run on. We do. And that can work for you or against you. I get that. But I think we certainly have got a better positive record than we do a negative.
Congressman, folks want to find out more about your campaign, where can they look?
JerryCarlCongress.com. And thank you so much, Jeff. And I appreciate the folks getting out and getting the job done. Thank you.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Really be the end to be stuck inside of Mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Mona, welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. It's already Wednesday. Wednesday morning. Been a busy week. I do want to mention last night's elections in California real quick. And I said this yesterday. That, I mean, Steve Hilton and Spencer Pratt were like kind of the darlings of conservative media, and there was a lot of kind of wish casting there. But there's one takeaway here. And look, I don't think it's true in the rest of the country. But if we're looking for bellwethers leading into November, and we're looking at what we're told is this anti-Trump sentiment that is going to, that's taken hold in this country. And I think it's true, but that's true with every presidential election cycle. Why didn't the Democrats perform better in California last night? Now, my theory is it's not that, oh, well, Republicans have nothing to worry about. I think it's already kind of baked in there. The people that are just, that really, really don't like Trump are going to do what they're going to do. But that in the end, it's less about the man and it's more about the ideology of the party and the policy. And California's kind of leading the way on this. That I think California, you never see this, but that things are getting moving toward a post-Trump political environment. Because sure, you could, if you're Karen Bass or Xavier Becerra, you can run against Trump, but that doesn't really add to your vote totals because everything is so baked in, Republican versus Democrat. And so you go back to what you've always done. You go back to whatever your liberal policy positions are, etc. But that to me, if you haven't looking for a takeaway here, now that wasn't true in the other races last night. There was some Trump things going on there where the Trump endorsed candidate lost, I think, in Iowa. But California is kind of in moving on from Trump already. Because if Trump were still a factor, then why didn't the Democrats have bigger blowouts as the question I'm asking. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. 'Cause I was country.